This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome. I'm so glad you've joined us today. You know, it's great to be talking about a different subject than what we've been talking about in the past. And today we're going to be talking about writing and publishing. And the reason for this is because it's one of my most asked questions from people when they find out that I've self-published as well as published some other people's work. And so it's something I want to tackle today. And I want to thank all of you from Inspired Bloggers for sending me your questions. I posted a question in a group that I am part of, and these ladies were just amazing in helping me with some of the questions for today. So I really appreciate your help, and we'll be giving you guys a shout out in just a minute. Today I'm going to be talking about writing and publishing. A lot of the information that I have comes from a book that I published a few years ago called Information in a Nutshell, Writing and Publishing. And one of the reasons I wanted to write this book is because I was spending hours and hours on the phone with different people, some I knew and some I didn't, sharing with them the steps to getting published. And it was taking so much time. And, you know, it was something that I felt I could do and, you know, at least be able to say to people, you know, here's a book that will work you through the process that's short. I started looking for different books that I could advise people to buy, and a lot of them were like 300 or 400 pages. So my goal was to keep it short, and it is. It's about 125, 126 pages of information that you can really use. For those of you listening in the replays, welcome. And if you go to Vintage Homeschool Moms, you'll find a link for this writing and publishing talk, and there you will find the handout that goes along with today's session. And also, I want to thank Carol Topp. I published a book in the Information in a Nutshell series on business tips and taxes for writers, and that's a book that Carol Topp wrote, and Carol is a CPA. And I asked Carol if she had some good blog posts that I could point you to, and she has a site called taxesforwriters.com. And she pulled out four really good blog posts for you, and they have to do with, you know, income that happens when you write and you get your book out there, and then you start making money, and then what are you going to do with that? So it's a good problem to have, but it's good to take some, definitely take some precautions and get that squared away. Well, guys, I am fighting a cold here, so please excuse my voice as I record today's session. Okay, well, today we're going to delve into some of the most asked questions that I've received from people. And so these are things that I cover in my book, and obviously I don't have enough time to go through everything in the book. And so I encourage you to take a look at the Information in a Nutshell, Writing and Publishing. It is available on Amazon, and it is often on sale on my website, so you can go to mediaangels.com and find it there. You can also use a bit.ly link, and that is http://2/, and it's bit.ly/writing-publishing, and that will take you right to the page on my website that has the book for writing and publishing. I also want to give a shout out to Susan Marlowe, because Susan wrote a book for children who want to delve into fiction. And that book is called Reach for the Stars, and I published that. So we are going to be having specials from time to time. So again, if you're listening to this in the archives and our special is over, if you join our mailing list, a lot of times these things go back on special. But we're going to be doing a bundled set with the writing and publishing book, the business tips and taxes, and the Reach for the Stars book. And in addition, I have a full-length video that was professionally shot, and it is on the topic of writing and publishing, and it is full-length seminar that I do. All right, so what comes first? How do you get started in the publishing process? You know, it took me 10 years to become a published author, and when I finally did and started writing, soon after, I turned down a 4-book contract with a very large publisher. And so I don't advise that you do that, but that was something that I never did regret. You know, from time to time, I do flirt with that idea and think, well, you know, some of the workload would be off my shoulders. But there were a lot of reasons for deciding to self-publish. And self-publishing is not for everyone. It is something that has really worked out well for me. And so you have to have several things in place before you consider self-publishing. And I go into that in my book. That is one of the things I do is a comparison with each of the, you know, things, whether to publish or to go with a publisher, a traditional publisher. I do warn against the vanity press or, you know, publishers that you have to pay to get the book out in print, and there are reasons that I go into in my book that I don't have time to right here. But that is one of the things that I chose for myself, and that was self-publishing. And through the years, I've published other authors, and it is with great, you know, a discernment that I go forward in doing that, because I found that it has not always worked in the past, you know, when I have done that. So some of the books that I have published are no longer in print, or, you know, some of the things that I've published I no longer publish. And again, that's for various reasons. So, you know, I find that experience is the best teacher. And so, you know, the first thing I would say if you're thinking about a career in writing and publishing is to go on your knees and pray. Prayer is very important to not only, you know, get yourself in the right, you know, in the right frame of mind, I think would be a good way to put it, as well as, you know, to pray about what your motivation is. If you are thinking about writing just to make money, I would really caution you about that, because for some it takes many, many years to make some money writing and publishing. I think I got started at the right time. I was in the right place in the right time. And, you know, I laughingly joke that I didn't know what I was doing when I got started, and the Lord did, and He just took my hand and led me. One of the first conferences that I spoke at, I was the keynote speaker, and I still laugh about that because, you know, I had no idea really what I was doing at the time, and had one book, and that was Teaching Science and Having Fun. And it was an incredible journey for me, because I'm a past educator who became a homeschool mom and disliked science with a passion. So the fact that the Lord would have me write that as the first book, I just, you know, say it really is amazing how life works out, not always as we plan it. So with that book, I went on to write others, and that is the 4 books I was talking about that a publisher approached us about publishing. I did write that with a co-author, and again, that's something I caution you about. But, you know, one of the things I do is I am a consultant for authors. So if there is a project that you are considering down the road and you need somebody that you can talk to about it, you can contact me, Felice@mediaangels.com, and just put in that reference, author consultant, so I'll know that that's what you want to do, and we can go from there. So, you know, one of the things I caution people about, you know, when you're looking at, you know, what you want to do first is look at why you want to write. And again, prayer will help you with that. And look at what your, you know, level of passion or enjoyment is going to be. Because when you're done with this project, I will tell you, no matter how excited I was about that book to begin with, by the time I am done, and it is going to print, or going to press or, you know, whatever, you cannot stand that book. And I just saw a post today in one of my groups that I belong to. I have one of Christian self-publishers that I'm a member of. And one of my fellow author publishers posted, it never does get easy, or, you know, we're going to print tomorrow and we're never going to be done. And so there are some challenges that go along in the way. And again, you know, for me, experience has been a great teacher, and that's why I'm really happy to offer services of consulting, because I have made those mistakes and can save you a great deal of resources and money not having to make that yourself. And so that's, you know, my step two is, what do I wish that I had known? And some of those things are the importance of marketing, and also about editors and proofreaders. I have found mistakes in my own work many, many times. Probably the most serious were in the series, the fiction series we wrote, my daughter and I co-authored, and that was the Truth Seekers Mystery Series, because there are different types of authors out there. There are different types of editors out there, and while one might be really good at nonfiction, it takes a special editor to edit fiction. And the reason for that is because there is a certain voice that comes across when you're writing a fiction piece, and if that editor isn't sensitive to that, they could actually change your voice, and it starts, the characters don't sound like you have envisioned them. That's one caution. And another is, a lot of times they'll get carried away by the story and forget to edit. I have done some content editing, and that is different than grammatical editing. And, you know, again, this is like a, you know, 3 or 4 week series I could be doing here, or a weekend conference. But anyway, let me just say that as a content editor, I can read a work, you know, for feasibility, you know, is this something that I think would do well being published? And then I also have become more hands-on with a document, for example, reading through, moving things around, taking chapters completely out, you know, moving chapters around, that type of thing. And, you know, I have gotten into that caution I just gave you, that I've been in, you know, captured by the story or by the, you know, the events taking place, even in a nonfiction work, that I forget my job, and that is of editor. So, you know, you want to have somebody who has had the experience, and the way you find out is you give them a couple of pages of your work and have them do a sample so that you can see the level of expertise. And also, I would say, get referrals. That's very, very important. Another thing is the importance of platform. I happened to start with a platform, and I always say that I started backwards. I started speaking before I had a book, and really and truly, that is how authors should begin, because if you have a speaking platform and you are already out there, you know, with the public, in front of people, discussing your topic, and you're passionate about it, people will be drawn to a book, and, you know, will ask you. And that's what happened with me, is they were asking me for my notes or if I had other things, other resources. And so that's how that came about. So you want to, you know, kind of be aware of that. Another thing that I thought was not as important for me, but I found out that it was, and that was marketing and how important it was for us to get our information out. And I'm going to sound like an old lady here, but when I got started, our big emphasis was going to conferences, magazines, and that sort of thing. And now I have found that social media just gives us such a great advantage over what we had when I started out. And so it's important for you to realize the different marketing techniques out there. And, you know, platform can not only be speaking, it can be a blog. I know of bloggers who have huge followings and then find that that translates into a book contract for them. So, again, you know, there are so many things to think about. And, you know, I've talked to people who have said, you know, well, should I just have one book or should I, you know, have many books? And I would say, well, start with the first book and do that really well before you go on with the next one. You know, authors can be profitable. And again, I said, you know, at the beginning that I started out in the right time and the right place. And I also had a passion for my topic. And again, if you're really excited about what you're talking about, then that is going to open up some doors. You know, it's very different between fiction and nonfiction, but both of them have their advantages and just a hugely different market. With fiction, I always think in series, and that's probably one of the best pieces of advice that I can give you. You can always start with one book, see how that goes, and then at least have two or three others planned in a series, and that, you know, and just see how that works out for you. Our Truth Seekers Mystery Series was a book series that I wrote with my daughter Christina, and we had just planned the one book and had some ideas for subsequent books. But the first book did so well that she outsold me at our conferences. People were buying the novel 2-to-1 to our curriculum. So that showed us that there was a real interest for something that was, you know, clean, that was an adventure story, that also taught some science as well. So we decided to go ahead with a book 2 and then a book 3. Book 2 I pre-sold at some conferences the next year, and it took about 2 years to get each of these novels out, which is pretty typical for a traditional publisher as well. Now publishers are putting out books a lot faster than they were in the past, but we had a lot of things in place that I wanted to make sure that we did right. One, because they dealt with science information, and I am not a scientist, I'm an educator. I wanted to make sure that at least 3 scientists read the scientific parts of the book. So we had that, and of course you have to wait till they get the get the book back, and then you look at their comments and edit your book accordingly. And the other thing was, because these were geared to teens or tweens, a lot of younger kids read these books, then I wanted to make sure that we got them into enough hands that would read them ahead of time and let us know, you know, what they thought was a good thing, or, you know, something that they thought was unbelievable. And so that was important to us. So there's a lot of, things to look at when you're writing or even publishing fiction on your own. So, you know, of course, there's a great advantage to having a traditional publisher for some, and we're going to be talking about all those kinds of things, plus some questions from my gals over at Inspired Bloggers. So we'll be back right after this word.
When people ask me what I do, I say I'm a published author. So many have shared that they've always wanted to write a book. Are you one of those people? Do you have a fiction or nonfiction you want to write but didn't know where to begin? How do you find a publisher or an agent? Or what about self-publishing? What are your choices? And what should you know before you get started? It is for you that I wrote the book, Writing and Publishing, the first book in the Information in a Nutshell series. This small book takes the average person about 4 hours to read, and in this time, you will gain an understanding of the publishing process with the knowledge that I'm the one guiding you through the process. Who am I? Felice Gerwitz, owner of Media Angels Publishing. I've been in the writing and publishing business since 1994, and I haven't looked back. And when you begin making money as an author, don't forget the book I published by Carol Topp, CPA, Business Tips and Taxes for Writers. Get both books at MediaAngels.com and begin your writing career today.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today, our topic is on writing and publishing. And I want to thank the group over at Inspired Bloggers for answering my question. I had asked, does anyone have any writing or publishing questions? Because I'm doing a show, and I wanted to know what some of you would ask if you had a chance to just sit with me and ask me your questions. And so those girls were awesome, and let's just go through some of these now. I couldn't get to all of them, but as many as I can get to, I will in the space of time that we have. And so the first is from Donita, who says, actually she had three questions. One was, how do I get started? The second was about word count, and the third was, what is the best way to publish an illustrated children's book? So first I want to say thanks for your question. And, you know, the first about how do I get started is the first thing I would do is to research the type of book you want to write. When I was writing my book on writing and publishing, one of the things that happened was I was asked to give a talk on this topic, so I was looking for books that I could recommend in my talk. I was not setting out to write a book on the topic, and everything I found was just either too lengthy or off topic or not anything that I was going to be sharing in my talk. For example, I didn't want to get into acquisitions or distribution or ISBN numbers right off the bat. You know, I wanted to get into, you know, what are some things to think about, you know, do you want to be published, do you want to be self-published, are you looking for a literary agent, you know, that kind of thing. And so that was the thing that came out for me, was that in researching, you know, there's a gazillion books out there on writing and publishing, and so I purchased quite a few of these, and I had quite a few already, and so I decided to make mine different, and one of the ways I made it different was making it short. The other thing I did was I surveyed some very established writers that also were self-publishers, and some of them, I think two of them at least, were also traditionally published. And so I got some feedback from them and included that in my book. So that's the first thing I would do, is to research, you know, how, what kind of book you want to write. And I think the other part of her question, too, dealt with, you know, how do you make the time? And that, again, because we're very busy, I know lots of people who listen to this show are homeschool moms, and so how do you balance that between homeschooling and writing and family and household? And so what I would say is look at your time wasters. That is the first place I would start. And I know a lot of you are on social media, and that is partly for work. And partly, you know, it's for enjoyment. I know I catch up on social media when I'm waiting at a baseball game, or I was waiting for my kids as they were practicing each day. And so I found that that was a really good place to start for me, and I used that time for some projects. For example, when I was thinking about starting this radio network, that was one of the times that I was able to use that was quiet. I could sit and be uninterrupted, turn my phone off or on mute, and so, you know, just if family was calling, I would be able to answer that. And so that gave me that really good, focused block of time to work, no internet, and just, you know, work on whatever I wanted to. So start with your time wasters. I think that is the first place to start. Another is I know that a gentleman that I knew that was a businessman, he would get up an hour early every morning. So he always got up at 6, so he started getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and that was his writing time. And when I asked him if he was a morning person, he said no. So it wasn't even like, you know, well, I'm a morning person anyway. He just trained himself for several years to get up early and work in the morning. For some of you, you know, with little ones, that might not work out for you. But, again, look at when you can, if it's late at night, if it's at lunchtime, if it's, you know, during a designated play schedule. I know of people who have exchanged, like two friends who were both writers, and they had little kids, and they would just exchange days of the week. Let's say that they would work two different days of the week. So one would watch kids one day and one would watch them the other day at each other's homes. And that way you weren't in the same house where the kids knew that you were there. Now, again, look at some other creative options that would work for you. Another question she asked, which is really a very good question, is what about word count? And you can do, you know, a search for that online as well. And it's interesting because different publishers have different word counts. But just for an example, a novel is anything that is considered over, 40 to 45,000 words is considered a novel. A novella is obviously shorter, 17,000 to, you know, around 40. And then a novelette is even shorter than that, 7,500 to 17 or 18,000 words. And a short story is anything that is under about 7,500 words. And, you know, that will give you an idea of how many words you need for your book. The other is, you know, she asked was, what is the best way to publish an illustrated children's book? That is probably going to be the hardest thing you ever do. I know that there are a lot of people that have some ebooks that are children's books out there. And some of them are beautifully, beautifully illustrated. And they are going to be harder to sell as a printed book. And one of the reasons is the cost. It just costs so much. I helped a friend of mine who self-published her son's book. Her son was in a gifted school, and he wrote a book for his younger sister as a project. And she just loved it and loved the childish illustrations, but she went ahead and had it published for him to sell. And they had to sell those books, you know, thin little paperback at $25 a piece so that they could give, her husband was a doctor, so they could give $5 to the Heart Association. She asked him to pick some place to give their, you know, to donate a good cause. And that's what he picked, and his dad was not a heart surgeon. But, you know, they didn't make any money on this. She just did it as an experience for her son. And then later on, she and I sat down and we talked about what some of the options were. And because he was still young, I think he was 12 at the time, he wasn't going to start going on the speaking trail. He wasn't going to be doing social media or any kind of marketing. She realized that probably for them to just, you know, do short runs, keep the price high, and then use it as a donation point, that it wasn't going to be something they were going to pursue. There is a publisher who has successfully published her own illustrated children's books, and she does have a network that you can join, and she does work with people on getting, you know, the word out there marketing-wise. So, unfortunately, here in the U.S., it is almost prohibitive to get a book with color print. We worked on a couple of these. I worked with a lady recently, and she wanted some color inserts in her book, and that was going to be at least $15 a book. So those are some of the things you need to look at is, first of all, getting a price before you decide to publish. So that's probably the best advice I can give you there in a short amount of time. Okay, another, Danica asks, what about hybrid careers and balancing? And she has several different things that she writes for. And it was, you know, really, you know, a lot of these are writing things, but like one is she blogs and then she's doing some self-publishing of a three-year curriculum, and then she does periodicals, she writes for magazines and that sort of thing. And so she was asking about finding balance. My friend Mary Jo Tate has a book coming out called Flourish, and that's probably going to be one of the – I've gotten preview copies, and Apologia is publishing that. And she also has a show on this network that is going to be starting in June. And she probably is going to be one of the best resources for you, Danica, because she is an author and she also is an editor. And she has major deadlines, plus she's a homeschool mom of four boys, and she's managed to be an editor as well as raise four boys, two, I believe, that are in college now. And she would be a great resource because she wore a lot of different hats. And so one of the things that I would just advise to you, other than getting that book when it comes out, because it's going to be a great resource, is that you need to look at what your passion is. I wrote for magazines for years. I had a blog that I ended up moving, and I don't blog. I called it my mommy blog. Now I've got a blog on this network that I write on. I have a blog on writing and publishing information in a nutshell, and I'm in the process of getting that moved over. And so there's a lot of different things you can do, and those of us that like to write can do a lot of these things, but what is your passion? I found that I was spending so much time and effort on magazine articles that it was not a passion of mine. Blogging is not a passion of mine. I have so many great ideas in my head, and when it comes down to getting them on paper, I can do it very quickly. It's, again, finding that time where it is a good use of my time. I look at my time, and I probably should do a whole nother show on time, because I look at it as a resource for my family. So how am I best using my time that is going to be, have the best outcome or return on investment? You know, the ROI, as people say in the business world. And so I found that while some things were fun, they weren't definitely a return on my investment. So that's what I would say to you, is look at what is the best return on your investment of time and go with that. And if by the grace of God it's also your passion, then awesome. Then that would be perfect. And she also said she's talking to some literary agents and she attends conferences. So that is another thing, going back to question three, what is the best way to get your book published? If you are serious about it and you have the book completed, you could go to writing conferences. They're very expensive. A lot of the better ones started about $400, and that's not counting, room and board. And you can go there and listen to awesome talks and also, get your book in front of some agents, and that would be a good way to go. Susan Spann, who is my copyright attorney, she's an attorney for many of us in the publishing world. She attended conferences for years, and now she speaks at these conferences, and she has a book, several books that have come out that are novels, and that was one of the ways that she was connected with through the conferences. So hopefully that has helped you. Okay, somebody else asked, and I believe it was Kimberly, who asked, what is the difference between traditional publishing and self-publishing and ebooks, and how do you decide which one to do? Great question, and it goes into that in my book. But let me just say a few things. Traditional publishing, a lot of the reasons people go with traditional publishing is because they only want to write. They don't like all the other aspects that come along with publishing. And one of those is the things I told you that I didn't like in some of the books that I picked up, and that was ISBN numbers and distribution and where do you get them printed and that sort of thing. I mean, I've done this for so many years that I have an arsenal of those people, at my fingertips, so to speak. So I know the editors. I know one of the best printers around that's in Indiana. I know where to go get your ISBN number and how many you should buy. After talking to you for 5 minutes, I could tell you that. And those types of things. But not everybody knows that kind of thing. So they don't even want to deal with it. And that's probably one of the reasons that they would want to go with a traditional publisher. Another reason is because of the credibility issue. And that is, in order to make the grade with a traditional publisher, you need to have a blog that has a ton of people following you. You need to give this publisher an idea that you know how to market and you would be able to get the word out that your book was coming, and that would really help a lot. the other downside to traditional publishing is you're not going to be the one making the money. And other than in advance, very few authors get anything else. So that advance is very important to negotiate, because very rarely do you make any money over that. And the reason is the percentage offered in a traditional publishing contract is going to be anywhere from, 7-8% to, maybe on a high side, 12% off of retail. So again, that percentage is very, very slim. Another is that self-publishing gives you a lot of flexibility, but one of the things I would caution is that you need a professional editor. And by professional editor, I don't mean someone who says they're an editor or someone who is a college English professor. I mean, I've got a niece who is, so don't kill me, Katie, if you ever listen to this. But I have used people who have told me that they are professionals, spent a lot of money, and found out that you need somebody who does this for a job and a full-time job. And so that is really important, because out of everything, that is probably one of the worst mistakes I have made, is not being willing to pay the money for a professional editor, because they can be very expensive, but they're worth every penny. The other thing is, what's the difference between self-publishing and ebooks? And ebooks obviously are electronic and they're not in print. There are people out there that say you're not an author unless you have a self-published book that is in print. I think that the stigma over ebooks has really decreased in the past years because they're so prevalent now than they had in previous years. And let me just tell you how fast things have gone. My book was first published in 2007, and at that time, ebooks were not even, we had them, they were PDFs, but they were not anything that was considered, a great thing to have. So, it has just increased so much since then. I know of people who have sold ebooks at $47 a piece and sold thousands of them. I know people who sell ebooks at $3.99 a piece and can't sell, 10 of them. Again, my caution is to make it as professional as you possibly can. And, that is, again, probably the best advice I can give you. So as far as the two, unless you have a blog that is, you have a ton of followers, it's going to be really hard to break into traditional publisher, because traditional publishers have to spend on average, thousands of dollars to get your book out there, and they're not going to do it if they don't think they can recoup that and quickly. So another question from Carly Kirchival, and Carly happens to have a show on this network along with her husband, and Carly and her husband are awesome, and so I really recommend you listen to their show as well, and it's called Learning to Speak Life. So in their show, they have some great topics that deal with family and children, so I really recommend you go and listen to that show. So anyway, Carly's question was, how do I pair up with the right literary agent? Because she happens to know some and is looking for a literary agent to publish her book. And so what I would say to you, Carly, is that it is very, very important to make sure that you get along. And I'm going to tell you this story that's going to seem very bizarre, but, maybe not. So I was working with a gentleman, and I was working on ghostwriting a book. And so we were we finished one in particular, and we're working on a series that he wanted to write. And he's actually a very good writer. He just he speaks in jargon, and a lot of times some of these people that are involved in business talk in acronyms. So, it's just like us saying LOL, and we know what that means. It was that type of a thing. So I would take what he was writing and make it so that, the normal person could understand it. And kind of like I did with my series of books when I worked with a scientist, and I said, you know, we need the dummy version here so normal people could understand the stuff. So anyway, he and I were working on it, and he was really excited because a friend of his had just been published and wanted this gentleman to meet his literary agent. So we had a three-way conversation, and this agent started advising him to do some things that I really knew were not in his best interest. And so, you know, I wasn't saying anything because there's this big literary agent from California from this, you know, publishing house that I had actually, she worked a lot with this one publisher that I had heard about. And, you know, it was really exciting and there was going to be a big advance and that sort of thing. And so when he asked me to weigh in, I did, and she didn't like what I said. And a couple of other, you know, questions that I had for her, you know, she did some backpedaling and that sort of thing. End of the story is that she told him that she would not take him on if I was part of the team. And he and I already had a contract to go to the book. So I said to this gentleman, I said, well, I don't want to break your deal here. And he said, no. You know, what you had to say was very important and very enlightening, and I don't know this kind of thing. You know, this guy could run a business and do what he needed to do, but this was out of his ballpark. So what I would say to you, Carly, is to look at who they've published in the past, look at their track record, look at whether or not you could get along with them. I think part of the problem for me was this lady looked me up and she saw Media Angels, and I'm this Christian homeschool mommy, and I could not know anything. And I just think that that was part of her issue with me, is that she just, you know, she and I were just on in two different worlds. So she just immediately wrote me off as not knowing anything. Unfortunately for her, I knew a lot more than what she was saying. And, you know, for one thing, this guy had a huge following. He's the one who sold thousands of copies of this $47 ebook. He did a lot of webinars, and he already had a following. So the information that she was giving him, you know, as far as advances and that kind of a thing, were just off track. So that was one of the concerns. So just, again, make sure that she's, you know, you've checked her out and that kind of a thing. But I'm excited for you because a lot of times in the camp of traditional publishing, one of the things that they can do that's a lot more difficult, not impossible, but a lot more difficult for a self-published author, and that is to get your book, you know, in some of the places that you would want them, per se. Like, it would be really exciting to go to a bookstore and see your book there. But I will tell you right now that any books that are on the shelf have to be selling in the thousands of copies for them to get you, you know, your little toe in. In addition, when is the last time you have gone to the bookstore in your local town and bought a book full price? Unfortunately, many of the places that people shop now are the big online distributors. I don't need to mention them. You know who they are. And, you know, we have free delivery and da-da-da. And so, you know, I try to go to some of the Christian publishing when I can, and the books are available there just to support them. But the big online distributors, you know, you can have your own store. Media Angels has their own store on one of them. So you can have your own store and sell your own books. So, again, that takes out the equation there of why to have a traditional publisher. But again, they can get your book in more places than you can. So something to think about. All right, another question that I thought great, and I'm not really sure who asked it. I think it was Daylin, I'm not sure. But she asked, how do you trust other editors when you're an editor yourself? And that is the first thing I would say to you is, again, do the test, which is, give them a couple of pages and see how they do. Mary Jo Tate, who wrote the book Flourish at Home, she is an editor, and she selected another gentleman who edits for this publishing company that she worked with. And so she picked him because he's a very good editor, and, you know, he did have some really good points that he made. So, you know, there are some give and take when you are being published traditionally, and a lot of that is that, you know, you are going with what your publisher says over, you know, they do give you rights. I mean, I give my authors a lot of rights about what they want. But, like, for example, you know, Carol in her book wrote, you know, she doesn't mind using different sources for publishing. Like, she uses CreateSpace for some of her curriculum sources. And I don't like those types of you know, printers. So I put a little note in her book with my take on that. And then she put, you know, her take on it. So you have to make your own decision. So that's what publishers will do. You know, if you are working with a publisher, and if you are an editor and you're going to work with another editor, you're going to do the same thing. You're either going to take the advice, or if you think that you're right, you're going to use your, you know, your opinion on that. So, and then one of the other questions, I believe it was also Dylan asked, you know, do publishers have a minimum purchase price of a product? So what she's asking is there a minimum purchase of your own product? So one publisher quoted $12,000 in a personal book purchase before they would move forward. So what she's talking about here is someone approached a publisher and they said yes, they would publish their book if they bought back $12,000. I know of other publishers that might ask for you to buy $2,000 worth of inventory. And I look at this two ways. First, $12,000 is a huge investment, and it sounds like you're carrying the entire production cost there of getting that book to print. $2,000 is acceptable within the realm, because if you're putting money into printing books, even a short run is going to probably cost, you know, in the thousands, $1,000 at least. So they're hoping that you're going to be speaking, and if you're speaking and you're buying that book, you're normally buying it at a 60% discount. So you're not just buying the book, you know, $2,000 worth of the book at full price. So if the book is $10, you're buying that book at 60% off, and so you would be able to make that profit, that 60% profit, if you're selling it when you speak. And that's another way for you to make a profit. One of my authors, we have a contract that reads, I make more money if I sell her book, and she makes quite a bit if she buys it and sells it at conferences. And right now she's outselling me. She sells enough of these books at conference to really make it worth her while, and then, you know, she doesn't have to deal with shipping and, you know, fulfillment and all that stuff. So that's another thing to consider. Well, I hope this show has been beneficial to you. And as you can see, there's so many different ways that you can go with writing and publishing. And whatever is your passion, you know, stick with that, because that is going to help you in the long run. Like, I really love talking about writing and publishing and helping people get published. Last year, I helped a lady who had a book that was sitting on her shelf for years due to, you know, her mother getting sick and some other family issues, and that book finally got into print. And I'm really excited for her. But one of the things that she wanted to do was start a publishing company and get this book into print and then get all her social media set up. She didn't have a blog or a Facebook for her business or anything. And so that was exciting to get to go alongside her and do, and I'm doing the same thing with a ministry right now that is forming a publishing company, and they're going to print a book of testimonies. So, you know, as you learn and, you know, find that there is something that you're passionate about, you can turn that into a business as well. So I just will keep you in my prayers as you seek God's will, and also I hope that some of this information has been helpful to you. So until next time, you know, take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and to VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.